morning, Foundry. Our first reading this morning is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 22, beginning with verse 25. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. To him, indeed, shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for him. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it. Now please receive our second reading from the book of 1 John, beginning with chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Receive what the Spirit is saying.
Friends, today we have a guest preacher with us who is no stranger to the Foundry family. She is part of the Foundry family along with her beloveds. Billy Martin is here with us as well this morning. And I want to try and help you out on an experience that some of you are about to have, where you are going to be looking up here and struggling because you are hearing a voice and then thinking to yourself, why do I know her? I swear I know her from somewhere. And it's probably your morning commute. That's probably where you know her from. Michelle Martin is one of the hosts of Morning Edition, in addition to a long career at NPR and in a very accomplished career. And she has been part of this Foundry family for a very long time. And I have known her longer as Will and Amina's mom. Because when I was teaching the elementary school Sunday school class, I had Will and Amina. And Michelle came to pick them up and said hello, and then I was doing that thing where I was like, why do I know you? Why do I know that voice? And we're blessed to be able to have Will and Amina's mom, Michelle Martin, with us as part of the Foundry family and sharing with us this morning through a word. After our anthem, her voice will be the next one you hear.
Well, that was amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Whew. I really don't feel so good about following that right now. Good morning. I'm so glad to be with you. If you're just joining us and you missed the announcement, I am not Pastor Ginger. I know people confuse us. It's so crazy. People stop me on the street. Are you Pastor Ginger? I'm like, no. People confuse us all the time, but thank you. If you belong to this church or this denomination, then you certainly know that she and our team are at General Conference trying to make it all make sense. Doesn't sound as fun as being here, so let's send her good vibes to help it all make sense, because a lot does not make sense right now. Let's take a breath together, shall we? Can we do that? Let's take a breath. Even if you think you don't need one, even if you didn't bike here, even if you didn't scramble to get a legal parking space, just take a breath. Just be here. I think I wanted to ask you to do that. I need to do that because everybody's so busy. Everybody's busy. We all have a lot to do all the time. And it always feels like there's never enough time, or time is getting away from us. And this could be a DMV thing. Those of you who have moved here from other places, you're like, why are these people so busy? Why are they so rushing? Why are they busy all the time? Why are they rushing? Might be a modern thing, but we definitely know that it's a thing. To be in the modern world is to live in a world shaped by managing time and place. And I promise that I really was thinking about this before we started hearing this whole question of time, place, and location. Time, place, and location. Have you heard that lately? It's in the news because of certain protests that are going on in certain places. And I also think I should probably mention, I apologize if my voice is a little rough. I went to a little event last night with 3,000 of my closest friends, and there was a lot of yelling happening. I wasn't yelling really a lot, but there was a lot of yelling, so maybe a little rough. And I was thinking, gosh, how strange it is to have rules for scheduling and containing something that by definition is meant to be disruptive, and it happens because people don't feel that they're being heard otherwise. But time, place, and location, we're hearing about this. But I honestly was thinking about this because being in broadcasting is, Pastor Ben kindly pointed out, you're always thinking about time. You have got to be on time. We have something called a hit time. Those of you who have ever been in broadcasting, you have relatives who are. We have something called a hit time. And that is when your produced piece is going to air or hit. It's when you need to be wherever you're supposed to be so that your anchor or your host can come to you for your insights, and you best be there, because people can and do get fired for missing a hit time. There's a well-known fashion model who had a turn at the networks as a guest sort of commentator, and on her very first scheduled appearance, which apparently was very much earlier in the morning than I take it most fashion models are used to arising, she missed her hit time, and they were like, bye-bye. Which is why so many of us, myself included, live in perpetual fear of missing a hit time. Once, years ago, when I was covering the earthquakes in Turkey, this is not the most recent earthquake in Turkey, it was the prior one before that. So to get there, we drove from DC to the Air Force Base at Dover, where we were linking up with the justifiably renowned Fairfax Search and Rescue Team, and then we get on a C-130, and then we flew for like 10 hours, and then we drove yet more hours north, which is where the epicenter was, and then it turns out that there had been a power plant there that had ruptured, and there was this really like thick, oily smoke. And let me tell you, your girl does not do well with thick, oily black smoke. And after, especially for traveling for like 16 hours And I will spare you the ugly details. I will simply say that the medic on the plane was nice enough to pour water on my neck and on my face. And I made my hit time, and I was a boss. And was this the smartest thing I've ever done? Probably not. But it seemed very important at the time. And place is very important. You will often hear of us sort of finding a place. Sometimes you're out here on the street during certain hours of the day, you'll see people looking for a location for their stand-up. That's where you stand someplace and you talk about whatever. And you've all seen it. You've all seen it. Don't act like you haven't seen it. Like, it's really blowing out here, Ted. It's really blowing out here. It's really blowing out here. And I'm sure some of you have said, yeah, because it's a hurricane and that's what they do. But it's kind of fun, actually. I'll let you in on a secret. It's kind of fun. It's fun until it isn't. I'll just put it that way. It's fun until it isn't. But sometimes you really need to be there at that place, at that time, so you know what's going on. Because sometimes that's the only way you really understand and feel what's going on. So sometimes that place, as ridiculous as it may seem, it's really important that you be in that place at that time. It's funny, having been in both print and television and radio, or audio, as we are now encouraged to call it, because apparently radio is old school, but audio is fresh. It's the same thing, but okay. The desired locations are actually very different, even for the same story. Sometimes, you know, in television, you're looking for sound. In audio, sometimes we're looking for the sound, but often what we're actually looking for is the quiet. Or, as one of my favorite artists put it to me once, what we're looking for is the spaces between the notes. And it can be the same story, but what you want to get from it or where you want to be can be completely different. If there's too much noise, you can't make out what's happening. But if there's too little sound, it doesn't hold your attention. So what a dichotomy. And I say all this to say, what is the right time and the right place? What is the right time and the right place? And how often do you hear that? And often when you hear that, it's because you're already wrong. You've already picked the wrong time and place. You want to have a serious talk with someone, your spouse, your partner, your colleague, your housemates, your kids, your elderly parents, your boss. You want to talk about something important to you, distribution of labor at home, maybe, money, whatever. And how often do you hear, you've got to pick the right time and place if you want to talk about that. And if it doesn't go well, you're already wrong. Like, oh, that didn't go well because you didn't pick the right time and place. What's the right time and place? And when I started thinking about it, I started noticing how often the Bible speaks of time and place. Ecclesiastes is probably the scripture that many of us know, kind of maybe by heart. It talks about for everything there is a season. But one of our scriptures this morning, the Psalms, speaks of what is ahead. What's going to happen? What do we hope will happen? What is promised to us? The Psalm today says the poor are going to eat. It's a promise. It's coming. All the nations of the world are finally going to do what's right and recognize the Lord's sovereignty and power, and all will be set right. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Why so many promises? Why so many promises about what is coming? Is it because what we want isn't here yet? You can see how those of us who live in a world or who have lived in a world or who see a world in which there are so many needs and so little power would need that promise. And we know, as we sit here now, so many needs, so much needs to be set right, and so many feel so little power. They feel so little power that they have to scream. And we're waiting for that time and place where these promises will finally be fulfilled and all will be set right. But what if we didn't have to wait? I'm looking at the scripture, and what I'm hearing is, it's already happened. We're already loved. What if we could accept, we could truly accept that that promise has been made and that promise has been kept? We are already loved. We are already loved. That love is here. It is here. It is here. It is here. It is here. It's in you. That promise has been made and it's kept. And if we were to truly know that, would we be so frantic? Would we be in such a hurry? Would we be so frightened? Would we be so hungry? If we knew that we're already loved and that the time and the place is now, right now. So yes, can't be complacent. I know people got places to go, need to go to work, most of us anyway. Bills have to get paid, commitments have to be fulfilled. Nobody wants their 30-year-old son living on their couch with no job, eating their food like the world owes them something. That's a hypothetical. Not talking about anybody in particular. Not thinking about anybody in particular. But what if we could act as if the time and the place to love and be loved is right now? How much easier it is to share when you know you have what you need. How much easier is it to love when you know you're already loved? How much easier is it to breathe when you know you don't have to fight for your next breath? Our faith has promised us. It has told us. It has invited us. It has assured us that the time and the place is now. We can breathe. Let it be so.